Greg Hughes here. Thank you so much for all your support with the Greg Hughes podcast. We release new episodes every Friday at 11 a.m. and we have a special bonus episode for you coming up right now. I just want to remind you, by the way, that you can listen to the podcast on the Highland Radio website, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, in fact, or you can watch it every single week on our YouTube channel. Just search the Greg Hughes podcast. And the podcast is researched and produced by Caroline Orr. And you can contact us via Caroline. It's carolineorr@highlandradio.com. Now, this week, starting school is a milestone every parent marks with excitement. The tiny uniform, the brand new shoes, the photo by the front door. But for Alicia McHugh, this week's school run brings a painful reminder of the little boy who should have been standing in that photo. In November 2021, Alicia's son Andrew was stillborn at 36 weeks. Facing an unimaginable grief, she turned to a tiny patch of dirt in her back garden, finding solace in caring for growing plants when she couldn't care for her son. That small plot grew into Butterfly Bear's Flower Farm in Killigordon, a beautiful living tribute where every bloom honours Andrew's memory. From the little bear constellation named in his honour to the butterfly wings he carries. Earlier I sat down with Alicia and this is her story. We're going to get to why you founded Butterfly Bear's Flowers Farm in Killigordon, but it's based off a very difficult experience that you went through. And, you know, whilst we're not taking away from anyone's joy at, you know, the first day of school and all of that, and that's not what this is about, I think it's really important that we can be conscious of the fact that different milestones can mean different things to different people. And that is very much the situation with you. Take us back to your pregnancy.
So I have a 7-year-old as well, and he would have been 3 at the time. So pregnancy with Andrew was all fine. Everything was fine. The only thing was, it was transverse, so he was sideways. So we had him booked in for a C-section. And then I remember the Thursday before, we went for a scan. Everything was fine. At that stage, I was about 36 weeks. That Sunday morning then, I woke up with pains in my tummy, thinking I was going into early labour. I still hadn't got the pregnancy bag packed at that stage, because we had planned in our head it was going to be a section. The husband, he took me into the hospital then, and it was just after COVID, so he wasn't actually allowed in with me, so he had to stand at the double doors. We went in then, and the nurse, she put the, you know, the monitor on, and she was kind of fixing it a bit. And then she was, oh, I just need to go check something. And at that point, nothing was kind of going through my head. And then the next thing, the doctor came in, and there's about 5 other people come in as well. And then the doctor just said, I'm so sorry. And he goes, where's her husband? And I just shouted, I says, he's at the double doors. And at that stage, I knew something was wrong. And he just said, I'm so sorry. And he kept repeating that. And that's, then my husband kind of came in then. And then they told him. And at that point, I think it was about 7:30 in the morning. And we didn't actually have Andrew until 9:50 that night. And there's a room, a special room in the hospital called the Butterfly Room. They took you in there as well. I was given the choice as well to either do the section, or if I could go naturally. Said it'd be better for me if I could go naturally, so that's what we did. We just waited then, so waited in that room, and then he was born at 10 to 10 that night. And then they gave us the option as well then if we wanted to stay with him in the hospital, so that's what we did. We stayed there then, I think it was till the Tuesday morning. So it was,
I can't imagine what that was like. Well, I can to some extent, but when they told you that news, and it's funny you recount the words, and I would say they play over in your head all the time, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and trying to make sense of what that actually means. But like that, how, what is the emotion? I mean, it's pure grief and loss, or is it disbelief?
It's a mix for me. And I know everybody's grief story is different, but for me, it's like he disassociates. He's like, nothing happened, didn't happen to me. And then the other part is like, as soon as you speak about it, you can tell me, I'm getting all kind of choked up now.
No, it's okay.
But it's just, it's a mix. It's a whirlwind of things. It's like you're sitting there and you're thinking back and like everything was fine. I had morning sickness. I wasn't on any medication or anything for it. It was just normal. So it was. But there was no pain. There was no signs. There was nothing. Do you know, nothing that you could have checked. Movement was all fine up until that morning. So it was even going to bed at night. He was doing somersaults. So he was.
And at 36 weeks too, whilst you hadn't the bag packed, you're just at that point where, you know, we have to live our lives, don't we? Positively, you know, so how do you do that? You can't spend your whole time worrying, mm-hmm. what will childbirth be like? I hope everything's okay. You sort of, it's like, right, he's coming, he's on his way. And that makes this even, mm-hmm. even more difficult, because even I would be an incredibly nervous person and would always nearly favor, you know, expect bad news. Mm-hmm. And it's not a great way to live your life, but even in our most recent pregnancy, I kind of parked that, even though it was a very complicated pregnancy. We got very lucky post-childbirth, if the truth be told. Carrying Andrew from 7 to 10, is how does that weigh on your mind, if at all? Is that a blessing? Is it just part of the whole thing? Is it an absolute curse? Not that carrying him, I'm on about the period of time, not we, Andrew.
It's a mix. Part of it's like, you know, he's dead.
Mm.
And then the other part's like, you kind of just want to hold him.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a mix, so it is.
The decision then to stay with Andrew, I suppose that was an easy decision for you, was it?
Mm-hmm. That we did have the option to take him home, but I couldn't bear taking him home.
Yeah.
And we had a 3-year-old as well, and I didn't want him to see.
Yeah.
Because it's too much for him to kind of process.
And you can explain it in your own way rather than.
Yes.
And frame it for him rather than his 3-year-old mind trying to make sense of of that for him.
The only thing that, when we did stay at the hospital then, and we left that morning, they did take him away for an autopsy. We were given the choice, did we want to do an autopsy or not? And we said, yes, we want to. Now, the autopsy did come back and they couldn't tell us anything, just that there was lack of oxygen and that was it. And there was no kind of cause or anything.
Were you satisfied with that answer?
Just have to be. Yeah. So you do.
People deal with things in different ways, and in grief, sometimes we push for answers, even sometimes when they're not there. But for you, it was just that's not the big factor here.
We were warned that there might be nothing; they mightn't be able to tell us. So we kind of had preempted that beforehand as well. But then when we did get to take him home, it was the day of the burial. We had our 3-year-old there as well, and we thought we had him geared up for that Andrew was going to be coming home, you know, touching belly. He felt a move and stuff like that, to get him prepared for it as well. So then we had to tell him that Andrew wasn't coming home, and we just told him that he wasn't healthy or safe enough outside mommy's tummy to be able to live. Yeah. So that's what happened to him. And then we had him there, my 7-year-old, well, he's 7 now, he was 3.5 at the three at the time. His birthday was 2 weeks beforehand, so it was. We had him there, but he was able to tell me a couple of months ago, he says, mommy, do you remember the white ropes? And I kind of looked at him. What do you mean the white ropes? And he says, when you put Andrew down into the ground, you were holding the white ropes. And I didn't think he would even remember that. Wow. Nearly 5 years ago now, so it is.
Isn't that a lesson how it's all logged, isn't it? And I think that, although we never know how he would cope with Andrew coming home for 2 or 3 days, but I think it validates your decision to sort of protect him. And he can then process it in his own way as he grows older.
He would still get very upset. Even last night he was crying, saying he missed him.
That's grief is very complicated, but I think when it's grief where you're, how did you position yourself with what you were going through, but then sort of you going into the protecting everyone else's feelings mode? So
block it out.
Yeah.
So you try to focus on something else. So you focus on my wee man. Just kind of everything for him. We're glad that we had him because it gave us something to get up for in the morning as well. So with it, to be able to be there for him, to do stuff for him, keep him going too.
Do you find people get your grief, if you know what I mean? That and I don't want to frame it, but I presume the loss of Andrew is the loss of a person, someone that was part of your life, a fully fledged living human being. You know, when you have that grief and that loss, maybe you don't even notice or care, but do people get that it's that's what it feels to you?
I don't know. Some people are scared to mention them. They're like, oh, I don't want to upset you and stuff like that. But then other people do. There's a lady down the road. She always sends a mass card every year on his birthday. And as soon as I see that wee white envelope in the post, I know exactly what it is. And I smile when I see it. I'm like, oh, she remembered him. But then there's other people, they don't want to talk about him because they all upset you. So it's just...
But I presume, well, let's get it out there because everyone's experience is often the same. I think we, when we don't think we have the right words, we avoid words.
I'd be like that too.
Yeah. Okay. So, but you're happy to talk about Andrew. You're happy to remember him. And yeah, exactly. And so if you're listening and you know, Alicia, don't think you're, because people are generally kind and they don't want to hurt your feelings, do they?
They are.
But sure they know now.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't know,
I'll chat away about
they
it.
Didn't know already. Mm-hmm. What about grief counseling? Did you go down that route or?
We didn't. Shortly after, me and my husband did say that if we needed to, we would go.
Yeah.
But we never kind of really, I think when I found the flowers, that was my way of kind of coping with it. Probably should have went, maybe. I think it would have helped, but.
I see a lot of you and me.
Yeah.
Put it out of my mind, block it out, think of something else. But the thing about it is people say with different types of loss, and I'm not talking about your situation, oh, it'll hit you sometime or blah. Everybody's different and everybody copes differently and everyone deals with things differently. And that's why you take the lead from yourself. You know, don't try and judge what you're going through. Take the lead from you and move on from there. The following weeks and months, I can only imagine what it must have been like for you.
I basically sat on the sofa and cried. So when you reach a certain point in your pregnancy, you're still allowed to take your maternity leave. So I went ahead and took it. And I'm lucky that my work gives unpaid maternity leave as well. So I took that too, and you accrue all your holidays. So I was off for quite some time, but I would leave. We still kept my 7-year-old now in creche to give him that normality, routine, keep going, that everything was kind of keeping going. But I would come home and I'd just sit on the sofa, and we used to have a Bernese dog at the time, so I'd lie crying on the sofa, hugging him. And then, like, he knew something was wrong as well, so he'd kind of, you know, nudge away at you with his head, and I'd sit scrolling on the phone. And then I would say it's around March time, he was 3.5, my older son at the time, I don't want to say his name, he came home with a sunflower, and we had it up in the kitchen window. And I was dusting one day and I broke it. And I thought, I'll stick it back in, see if it grows, because he'll be upset if it didn't. It was for Mother's Day, he came home with it. But sunflowers don't grow when you cut them.
Do they not? Yeah. Okay.
Well, depend on the variety.
Right.
But ones that are branching.
Yeah, I get you.
This one didn't. And then he realised then after about a week when it died, he's like, oh, my sunflower died. And he got really upset. And I was like, right, we'll go to Aldi and Lidl, we'll get compost, get seeds. So that's kind of how that all started. Then I started scrolling, looking, you know, found all the videos, found Florette in the US. She's a flower farmer. And I was like, oh. And then I found the flower farmers of Ireland. And that's how it all kind of started.
So, and then you started planting in the back garden, effectively, right?
You did.
What was that for your older son? Was that for Andrew? Like I'm saying, did you make the connection between what you were doing and working through your grief and Andrew straight away? Or was it to do with
Not
your son and the sunflower?
It was to do with my son and the sunflower, first of all. And then when I realized I enjoyed it, and I was like, oh, I kind of felt like I was nurturing something, growing something. So it was. And at the same time then, we decided we would build or make a wee kind of flower patch out the front. And that was supposed to be like a memorial garden for Andrew. So that's kind of how it all kind of came together then. And the name kind of came about. Friends of ours had named a star after Andrew. And the star, that the constellation that star is in, is called Ursa Minor.
Mm-hmm.
Most people know it as Little Dipper, but I can't remember where I seen it. And I can't find it now, but I heard it called Little Bear. And that's where the bear came from. And then the butterfly was for his wings. So that's how the name kind of came about then as well.
Right. So the Butterfly Bears Flower Farm in Killygordon, is that at the house or separate to it? Okay. So that little patch of dirt has grown into this.
Mm-hmm.
And did anything happen or come to you that sort of that developed it from this broken sunflower into this thing in memory of Andrew?
I guess just how much it helped me.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. How did it help you? What was happening there? You talked about growing and nurturing, or was it taking your mind? What was helping you as much as you can determine?
Huh? Quieted my mind.
Yeah.
Couldn't think of anything else but the flowers. So it was nice, peaceful. So it was. I guess that's kind of the best way to describe it.
Okay, brilliant. And the name too is beautiful.
Thank you.
It means so much, doesn't it? It's nice when the important words and their meaning actually turn out to be a nice name as well. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I'd be a bit confused in butterfly bears when some people see it at the start, but when you explain, then it's like,
No, because it kind of, you know, there's that song Butterfly Kisses, isn't there? And then, you know, then there's butterfly bears, and I don't know, it all makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. So what goes on there then? But at the farm,
right? Well, I work full time in IT as well, so the flowers are evenings and weekends and early mornings. So we grow everything ourselves. I say we, it's me and my husband, and he has a job that he never applied for and didn't want and doesn't get paid. So he'll help make the beds and stuff like that there, and he bought me the polytunnel last year as well. So when we actually did start, or I started growing for just before any of this happened, I thought, we'll stick it in this wee patch in the corner. My husband was extending the garage. If it doesn't work out, he's going to flatten it anyway, so it doesn't really matter where we do it. And it turned out into this then. So when we were moving where my growing patch was, he bought me the polytunnel to move it then. Then we just kind of started growing seeds, corms, bulbs, all different types of stuff, mainly annuals, perennials, and then the kind of workshop started then as well. So I don't actually have a physical shop or anything, so you can order online. I have a website. You can order through Instagram, Facebook. Some people text me as well, or stop me in the street.
Oh, and what kind of stuff are you selling?
Just bouquets of flowers. So I grow them all, cut them, harvest them, condition them, bunch them and wrap them then. So it's like a birthday gift or something like that.
There. Fantastic. And is this, are you at the level where you want to be, or could IT take a bit of a backseat, or does the bills have to be paid?
Bills have to be paid. Plus, my work's very good as well.
Yeah.
I get 6 months sick pay. So I'm kind of, if anything ever happened, you've got that to fall back.
Yeah.
You get free healthcare.
Yeah.
You know, you have to weigh things up. I don't know if to do the flowers full time.
Yeah. It's your passion.
Financially, just.
Yeah. It's tough old space, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But do you know what? Maybe it wouldn't be quite as enjoyable if it was the breadwinner. Maybe it's your space sometimes it's nice to have a third thing. So you've got work, right, and you've got family life, and we love our families and we love our work for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's something else as well too. And if it doesn't blend too much into the other two, mm-hmm. though you work with your husband, but sure. Mm-hmm. That's it. And where are you at, or how do you, in grief at the moment now? Like, because we were talking just, and this is why I wanted to speak to you, mm-hmm. both you and I don't want to take away anyone's joy. It's lovely if people have kids going to school, and you've done that yourself with your older boy and all that type of stuff. But there are milestones that you're missing out with Andrew, and that's really tough. And it could be his birthday, mm-hmm. Christmas,
mm-hmm.
holidays, mm-hmm. your older boy's birthday, mm-hmm. your, it's like every month there's something come along, but I suppose the day maybe you'd be sending him to school for the first time.
Mm-hmm. I cried the whole way home.
It's a big one, isn't it?
Cried the whole way home.
Yeah.
And especially as well, my older son, he's got a friend in his class that has a wee brother that's the same age as Andrew. So he would have been starting with him. Mm. And I seen him going in that morning and all happy, and I was happy for him and happy to see him going in. But then in the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh, he'd be running in the classroom with him.
Yeah, I know. And I know that it's layers, isn't it? Because you're taking on the emotion of the missed opportunities for your older brother as well. It's not just for you and for what you would have done for his older brother, sorry, Andrew's older brother too. So it's multi-layered, isn't it? And he seems like a sensitive wee soul too. I'm not going to talk too much about him, but I've a couple of boys in my house that he sounds very similar to.
He cries saying that, oh, I could have been playing with him, you know. So he does know. He's very, very sensitive.
Yeah, but I suppose too, I mean, obviously we're going to focus on, you know, the more difficult times too, but he knows he's got his wee brother. Mm-hmm. And as he matures, then Andrew might take a different role in his mm-hmm. life as a guardian or something along those lines.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So is there anything, do you think, that we could learn from your experience? Like, are you of the view, and I tend to be like this on the radio, to understand that, you know, like I actually mentioned this at Leaving Cert time, I would know three families who lost kids in their mid-teens, early teens, and the Leaving Cert was a really tough one for them because that's when they'd have been going through, like you're going through with the start of school. I suppose it's keeping people in mind, isn't that it? We're not asking people not to enjoy themselves or to be happy, but just to be mindful.
Just think about them. Like, you don't have to hide your happiness or anything that got there, but just, like, have that wee thought in your head for them.
Mm.
Do you know? It's, I don't know.
So, Butterfly Bears Flower Farm in Killygordon. Check it out on
Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. We have a website. Yeah. We're everywhere.
I can see as soon as it's mentioned, it is your happy place. Mm. It's, you can sort of maybe step out of, you know, the trudgery and get into it. Fantastic stuff. All right. And just in terms of it, and to get into the arguably for some boring part of it, what are you doing now? Are you planning for Christmas and stuff? Is it, or what?
Planning for next year.
Next year.
Yes, next year.
That's crazy.
So I'm actually late. So I should actually have all my spring seeds sown and buying right. those at this stage. So I should, haven't even ordered the seeds, never mind sowed them. So I am very behind on next year. So you're normally supposed to, when you start cutting the flowers, you're supposed to be kind of planning for what you're supposed to be doing
yeah.
next year. So you're
okay.
So you're always a year ahead.
I think you'll get you'll sort it out. You'll fulfill all the orders next year.
We will.
All right. Okay. Well, listen. It's such a mixed bag in it. Between the awful situation, but listen, even we're sitting here talking about Andrew now, right? So that's, I think that's nice.
That's nice.
But it's also nice that you found solace in your garden, in his garden.
It is, and it's all for him.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much for chatting to us. I really do appreciate it.